Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. We talk about our favorite records. Talking Records Podcast. We're so glad you tuned in. Thank you all for listening. You showed up to the right place. Jed and his friends dive deep and analyze the records we have grown to love. We'll tell you how we found the band, then give you a track by track breakdown of all songs. So grab your favorite beverage and pull up a seat. Today we'll look at another record in its entirety.
Hi everyone, welcome to Talking Records. My name is Jed, and this is a podcast devoted to connecting with people over great music. In just a bit, I'll be joined by Useless ID bassist and singer Yotam Ben-Horon.
Make sure you check out Talking Records on the net. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Talking Records Podcast. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, or X. You can also drop us an email at talkingrecords@outlook.com. These are all great ways for us to connect with you over all this great music.
Based out of Haifa, Israel, Useless ID released The Lost Broken Bones on Suburban Home Records on July 23, 2008. As I mentioned in episode 42 on Useless ID's previous album, Redemption, the band had been on my radar since about 1998 or so, when my band crossed paths with them in a small club near my hometown. I kept up with the band, checking out their releases, and so when I found out they were going to be following up my beloved Redemption, I eagerly awaited the release. It started with Blood Pressure, a song released early, and I was immediately on board. I loved the song and just remember being so excited for this album to come out. In this episode, Yotam tells us about the pressures of trying to beat Redemption, his friendly rivalry with Man Alive's Jamie Hilsden, stepping back to allow Stefan Egerton to do his thing on guitar, discovering Tony Sly's tape recorder, and a whole lot more. Welcome back to the podcast, Yotam Ben-Horon. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm psyched to have you back on the podcast. We are going to be diving into Useless ID's The Lost Broken Bones album. And so, here Great. We go. I'm going to start off by asking you to think back. And do you remember when the writing process for this record began? It had been like 4 years since Redemption when this record came out. So what was going on around that time?
Yeah, so with Useless ID, ever since I became like the main songwriter, like once we'd record the album, I would already like, you know, we'd come back with the mix or the rough mix already, and you know, once the album was mastered, I'd already jump into the next one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't wait or like take like like normal people tend to do. I was like, all right, next one, and then again, next one. So with the first three, with Bad's Story, No Vacation, and Redemption, that's pretty much how it was. It was like boom, yeah, boom, boom. And then with this one, I feel like I hit a bump in the road, kind of like because I didn't feel at the time that it could get any better than we did on Redemption, in that style of like melodic pop punk where it's kind of like bittersweet, but it's also happy, and you know, and we're all young and we look good. And then so I was like, yeah, we can't do that again. And we also had drummer problems. We just kept changing drummers around that time. So the drummer that played on Redemption, he was out of the band. I think we spoke about him last time. So by the time Redemption was over, we needed to find a drummer. And that was and then we found Harpak, who played on The Lost Broken Bones. So I feel like there's a bit of a search in all right, where do we go from here? So I tended to do, I pretty much I don't know, not long after Redemption, I started writing, but I felt like it was kind of like a continuation of Redemption, and the songs weren't good enough, or like there wasn't that like powerful message behind them, but I went with it. And we you know, at some point we reached like 15 songs or something, and we decided to demo them. But it none of the good songs were there. There was only you know, it was like I feel like we were kind of like searching where do we go now? Now, at the time, I tried to re well, what's the word here? Reinstigate? No. I tried to revive one of, sorry, I tried to revive one of my old
All
side
right.
projects. It was called Super Drive, and it was more
That's like
like
the rock. Yeah,
alternative
we talked about
based
them. Yeah.
music. It was more like a rock, like alternative rock or something. So I'd written like a few songs for that, and when I let Guy and Isha hear those songs, they were like, "Oh, these are better than what you're writing for this, like, you know, this new
Yeah.
useless thing." So why don't you just bring that here? And they were right, because that like revival of the side project wasn't really going anywhere. And for me as a songwriter, I was like, okay, if I combine both worlds, so that means there has to be some like bridge between this. I can't just bring like a really heavy song, you know, that's like full on
Yeah.
rock, and then play these like, well, you could do that, but it felt like two
Right,
bands to me.
yeah.
So I was like,
'Cause you
okay,
have
so
your heart set
now
on
we
it
got
being
a few of
something
the.
different entirely, so to
Yeah,
merge those.
yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's how I am when I'm writing a record. I try to kind of like I tend to have a vision, and I kind of have a
Yeah, you
focus.
want it to feel connected.
And over here, since yeah, and since that Super Drive thing wasn't really nothing really was happening with it other than some local shows in Israel. So I was like, okay, so I'll stop doing that. But how could I make these songs connect to what I'm doing in Useless ID? Because those songs didn't sound like the songs on
Right.
Redemption. Those songs were Isolate Me and the Shallow End. So that bringing them, yeah. So bringing them into Useless ID kind of like shuffled the deck of musical style. And then when I had those demoed with the songs I'd written, I still felt like the album was incomplete. I was like, this can't be the new album. So yeah, that's how the writing started.
That sounds really
So
tough. I mean,
then,
when you're putting it up against the album before it, and you're like, I gotta beat this. Like, how can I beat this? You know?
yeah, and I feel like we made such a great album on Redemption with Redemption. So after that whole thing, I kind of fell into like a writer's block,
Oh.
well, which I don't really believe in. I kind of feel like if it's all in your
Yeah.
mind, and if you just grab a guitar, something comes out. You just have to go through the crappy songs in order to get to the good
Yeah.
ones, and it could be a lot of hard work. But at the time, I was under the impression that I had writer's block. And during that time, I don't know if you know the
Oh
band Man
yeah. Oh
Alive,
yeah.
but we
We've talked about Jamie.
we've been compliment yeah Jamie, we've been complimenting each other throughout the years. Like, you know, we release an album, so then they make an album, kind of like this little
But
healthy
yeah, friendly
rivalry between
competition.
two friendly competition between two hardcore punk bands from Israel. So they had just recorded an album, and they were touring a bunch back then in the States. So he came over and he let me hear what they did, and then I told him, man, these songs are great. I love it. I'm just like having the worst time trying to write an album. I'm just forcing myself every day to sit for hours, and I'm just coming up with the shittiest songs. So he told me, you know what? How about you take a break? He had this suite at this like
Yeah.
hotel resort. It's called Eilat. If you know where that is, that's like on the far south of Israel. So he had like a hotel suite he could like, you know, stay at. So he said, you should come, you know, we'll go swimming with the fish, and we'll eat canned foods, and we'll have a blast. And so that was good for
That's
me to do
great.
that around that time. So I hung out with him for a few days, and the day I got back, I sat with the guitar and I wrote the song Undecided, which is on Lost
Yep.
Broken Bones. Okay, this kind of makes sense with having Isolate Me and Shallow End along with these other songs. But n coming to think of it, I'm trying. Let me look at the song list here. I want to see if any of those demos made
Yeah, I
it.
was gonna ask what some of those songs were that if you could remember.
Yeah, n not many made. Yeah, Always the Same was there. Already Dead, Give It Up, One Way Down, No, One Way Down maybe, but the rest was not. So that's the thing. We kind of like did what some bands tend to do, which is rewrite the record because it's not good
Yeah, scrap it and
enough.
try again.
Now another thing was that we had just finished the contract with Kung Fu, so we were free agents, and I was working for this Israeli artist that was doing these like he was like this famous Israeli artist that he did some US tours, but that's not the way Useless ID do US tours. For that was like a production, and you fly in, you play three shows, everything's you're staying at like crazy hotels and stuff like that, and everything's well taken care of, and then scram off. So that's not an actual tour. It's like, New York,
Just
LA,
dropping
go
in,
home. But but we had the idea. We're like, all right, let's demo these songs. I'm gonna fly to the US anyways, so maybe I'll just stay there and go to LA and try to shop these demos and see what comes up. And so that was also a part of the process. It was just this whole thing. And I met with Side One Dummy. I met with this one of the biggest Pro Tools engineer that worked with like Lady Gaga. He passed away a few years ago, but he was like this big deal in the music industry. His name was Tal Hertzberg. So I met with him as well, and he listened to like 15 seconds of each song, and he was like, okay, yeah, I get it, okay, and just not even giving it the time of day, and just bouncing from meeting to meeting and meeting.
That must be aggravating.
And and also that same year, in the summer, I think it was, NOFX came to Israel. So we're like, all right, so Fat Mike's gonna be here, let's give him the demos as well. So we gave Mike the demos too. So we were just like firing in every direction just to see what we could get. But deep inside, I felt that I kind of stumbled upon what the vibe of this album should be with Undecided, and I needed more time. And I remember telling the guys that, just I'm like, nah, we don't have the album yet. Let's give it a bit more.
Yeah, wow. So Undecided as the centerpiece, working around that, you've got some of the harder tunes on here. One of the things that always kind of grabbed my attention about this record from the beginning is its darker tone. It's like more like hard rocking sound to it. So it's interesting to hear that you had kind of pulled from different places in order to figure this one out.
And then when I was in LA, like these stories you hear about this artist that's kind of and it's true. I was going through this thing. I was just like walking in Venice Beach, just not knowing where I'm going with
What do I do?
life. And then I was yeah, what do I do? And then I was one other day, I was like walking in Sunset, and suddenly I hummed a melody. No, it's all that's what happened. I was walking on Sunset, and I hummed a melody, and I was like, "Oh, this is a cool melody." 'Cause, and I was singing the chorus of "Killing a Go," what would become "Killing a Ghost," like.
It's about time we have this story.
Oh, this could be like a heavy da-na-na-na. Like, so yeah, I was kind of like, writing it as I went. And when I came back from that little visit, I moved apartment. I moved right next door to Jamie from Man Alive, seeing Jamie's influence on me, because I was living with my dad in this yeah how old was I was like 27, 28, living with my dad, because we were touring all the time. I was
Why
like, why
keep an
should I pay
apartment,
rent
right?
somewhere if I'm not even here? But then I was like, all right, yeah, I kind of ha had a job, so I could hold down an apartment even with this whole touring stuff. So I got the apartment next to Jamie, and then he for first night, it like I just set up everything, and pretty much like everything was in boxes, but I got everything set up, and I was ready to go to sleep. It was like 1:30 a.m. The second I laid my head to rest, I hear him from his apartment just belting it out with like an acoustic guitar, and I'm like, is he serious? Come on, really? And I'm
Bang
like
it on the
lying in
wall.
bed, and I'm like, all right, so this, no, I didn't even do that. I'm like, so this is how it's gonna go. Okay, game on. And then the next day, I did the same thing. I didn't want to like do, but I was like, all right, if we're all like free spirits here, and we're all just making noise, we're living on our own, I'm also gonna play
Try
in the
that.
middle of the night and let's see what comes out. And it was a great thing because many songs came out of
Ah,
that.
that's
Like I
awesome.
remember barging into Jamie. Yeah, I barged into Jamie's apartment. It was like one day at like, I don't know, 11 p.m. or something. I'm like, dude, you gotta
Oh.
hear the song. And I'm like standing at his doorway with the acoustic guitar and I'm playing him
Oh, I
Mouse in a
love that. That's
Maze
awesome.
and I'm singing and like, beat down here like a mouse. And he's like, dude, keep it quiet. I was like, I was so excited. So it was kind of like this whole process of getting to these songs. And I remember we were missing like a couple tunes. And guy was like, you know those like little voice memos, those voice demos you do when you just record to yourself on a cassette tape? Let's go through some of them. Maybe you have like a hidden gem over there or something. So we listened to them, and there was like I don't know, a little bit of what would become Blood Pressure. So he's like, I think this one could be a song. So I was like, all right, I'll make it. I'll make it into a song. So that's how like the songwriting process for that
That's
was. I
awesome.
was just like, and that's why it took time because I was fairly surprised today because I haven't listened to this album in forever. And I was like, let's see what I feel about it today. And I had an
All right.
enjoyable listen.
That's awesome. I guess like it could feel disjointed or piecemeal when you don't have that vision from the beginning and you feel like you're kind of like pulling things together to make something happen. I never really thought about that from a writer's point of view.
Yeah, just like a quick detour. For example, with State Is Burning, which is a much different album than this one. I remember we were on tour in like 2013 on a European tour, and like the second day of the tour, me and Ishai had a conversation, and we're just like walking around, I don't know, somewhere in Europe, and I'm like, I don't think this next thing, because we did Symptoms already, and I was like, I don't think this next album should be like a slower one. He's like, oh no, it shouldn't be a slow one. And I think Frenzelrum just came out with the Smoko and the Pet Factory, and we were listening to that, and we were both like, yeah, we should kind of like do that, try to like get into that headspace of like, a minute and a half songs, which is kind of like the way Useless ID really started out. It was like a fast melodic hardcore punk. And kind of broaden our ideas with the lyrical content, but yeah, so that's where the vision for that started. So for this one, I feel like it was kind of like searching for, and again, yeah, the album came out very heavy. And I feel like with Symptoms, we kind of like solidified the style of Lost Broken Bones. Like that's where we solidified that as a band. And and interestingly enough, it's a much slower album than
Yeah,
Lost
it's more of a
Broken
hard
Bones. It's like a
rocker.
rock record. And I was, it's yeah, it's like a hard rock album. And I was so surprised when Fat Records actually said yes to that album. I was like, really? This one? Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to that for a minute.
But
You mentioned
yeah.
NoFX touring in Israel and you approaching Mike. Do you remember, I mean you're on Fat now. Do you remember why he passed on this?
Well, I gave him the demos. I didn't hear back from him. And then once we had Lost Broken Bones, the album, before we be yeah, before the release, we wanted to run it by Fat, obviously. So I remember Ishai sent him an email, and he got back to us. I like this album, but the office, but I got a lukewarm response from the. I remember lukewarm. That's the first time I heard the word
What does
lukewarm. I
that
was like,
mean?
okay. Yeah, he got a like they weren't really into it, and that's okay. But funny enough, it was re-released on Fat later
Well, that's the
on
version I have.
because Lost Bro.
It's the fat version.
Yeah, I have all versions here, but and I think it's a great Fat record because it listening to it now, I'm like, yeah, this should be on
Definitely.
Fat.
Absolutely. So, tell me about connecting with Suburban Home. How did you get on there?
We knew Virgil from the Warped Tour. He was with
Oh,
Gametz.
yeah.
Remember the Gametz? Chris Fogel. Yeah, he's a good friend of ours. So he was with them, and we knew he had a label. And then we saw that he released some Drag the River stuff. So we kind of knew him. But at the time, I wasn't really that was kind of like guy's territory. Guy was like taking care of that stuff. He was like, when we realized that Fat's not going to release it, and we already had a label in Japan to release it, which released it
Yeah,
first,
bullion. Yeah.
Bullion, they released it first. I think it came out a bit earlier than it did in the rest of
In
to the rest of
Japan.
the world. So,
Yeah.
yeah, how funny is that, right? So there were four more labels that released it. Three or four, I think it's four more labels. I remember it was like Rude Records for the UK, and then another Israeli label, and then Suburban Home. So yeah, I think we just wanted to release the album. So, and we were kind of like on a time schedule because we wanted to get out and tour. It took forever to make this album. I think it was like been 3 or 4 years in between.
Just want to get it out.
Give it up now, give it up, stop and look around. Are you waiting for the pit stop? Make the pain stop and carry on while you're fading away.
You had mentioned earlier bringing on Jonathan to play drums. Do you remember how you connected with him?
He played in a band called Punk Ache, like pancake, but punk ache. That's like it's funny because pancake in Hebrew, like the way you say it is a pancake, so it sounds already like punk
Okay.
ache. So that's like the little
It's like
play
a
on
misheard
words.
thing.
Yeah, so they were like a Tel Aviv rock, like kind of like the pop punk rock band. Now when we saw the first time we saw them play, we were all like, holy shit, this drummer's amazing. Like he just got it, you know. He had this like a cool presence, a cool character on the drums. He looked cool. He was kind of like a short dude that, you know, just and he's such a great drummer. He played so great on both on this and on Symptoms. I'm listening to it today and he's like, what a solid drummer. So we became quick buddies, but you know, Punk Ache was still a band, and we didn't want to steal their drummer. Once Ido, Useless ID's older drummer, once he was out, we were like, we can't talk to this guy because he's with them. And I think he was still doing his army services at the time. He was like, and so we went with Moshe, who played on Redemption. But after that, when once Moshe was out, we were like, okay, we got to talk to this guy because he's. And you know, guy got rid of his dreads and all that. So he just made us kind of like complete as a band. Like look more like you know, like four dudes that play this type of music.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, not that I have any problem with the other guys, that but it just felt like the energy
It
between the
clicked,
four of
yeah.
us like really clicked. Yeah,
Yeah, it's
you know
hard
what
to
I mean?
describe sometimes why that happens, but like sometimes you find people and it just works. You're all on the same wavelength
Yeah,
or something.
and yeah, exactly. And throughout his time in the band, he was just a joker. He was hilarious. He, you know, at the Blaster Room, when we brought him over, when we brought him in for the first time, it wasn't like with the other guy. It wasn't like really a struggle. He was like, you know, he was open to listen and try out a bunch of stuff. But on the downtime, let's say you'd fall asleep on the couch in the living room, he'd come up to you with like a lighter and try to like, you know, wake you up and shit like that.
That's why he lost his
So,
dreads. Guy,
oh, that's why Guy lost the dreads. Yeah, maybe.
That's funny.
Yeah, but Jason was very happy to work with him. That's another thing that happened because with the previous guy, they didn't really get along, and like the whole thing. I'm surprised that Redemption sounds as good as it does because, you know, we only rehearsed with that guy. And coming into the studio with Jonathan, he had already been in the band for a few years and he'd done the demos with us, he played shows. So there's more of that band feeling. That's what I realized. It's like we feel more like a unit on Lost Broken
Yeah, that makes a
Bones.
huge difference. Yeah, you had done Redemption at the Blasting Room. Was there no question about returning to the Blasting Room for this album?
Yeah, we fell in love with the Blasting Room because The studios we recorded with beforehand, Orange Rip Studios. We'd already done two records with Orange Rip. We loved Angus, but we felt like okay. So with Redemption, I think I mentioned this last time. Since it was the last album for Kung Fu, we were like, very optimistic. We're like, we might never make another album again, and the band may break up, and this may be our last album for Kung Fu. So if we have a one chance at working with Bill Stevenson and Jason Livermore, let's do it now. But we weren't like we wanted to try it, but once we did, we were like, holy shit, we can't go back. This is because we felt like they're really producing us and taking the songs apart and piecing them back together and just working with us and making sure like everyone's happy with their parts, and even if we're kind of like fighting with each other about certain parts and stuff like that. So there's always Bill or Jason, like, what do you think? And then let's move on. So so it was a no-brainer, and we love going back there. So we went back there another few times, for the other albums. And if we make another album,
Go back again.
we'll go back again.
Oh, it sounds like a great place to record. I mean, everybody who talks about it talks favorably. And of course, you've got Bill and you've got Jason and Stefan and that team of ears on your music. Just you can't beat it.
Stefan wasn't at the Blasting Room anymore, but he did stop by. They had a show at the Aggie Theater, which is like a few blocks away from the Blasting Room. So Stefan was playing with one of his bands, and there was supposed to be like a secret four song all show at the end of. So Scott was also in town, so we were just stoked. We're like, holy shit, we're gonna see all. But Stefan stopped at the studio beforehand, and we were all like, we should get Stefan to play something. Let's just put a guitar in his lap and have him do something, because we all love Stefan and his guitar sound. So that's where the intro of Isolate Me started. We had another intro written for that, and I was kind of like, I kind of took charge and told Stefan, okay, this is exactly how we want it. We want the accent on this, the accent on that. He's like, okay. So Stefan's sitting there. He recorded his part like with completely different accents and
He
completely
didn't listen
different
to you.
part, and then I'm like, no, Stefan. The guy, I think the guys were like, what is he doing? What is he doing? He should, Yotam
Don't
should
tell
shut up. And
Stefan.
I'm standing there, thinking about it now. It's hilarious. I'm just standing there with this legend that I've been listening to his albums since I'm like 15, and just telling him, no,
They're
you're
not
not
doing it
doing it. So
right.
Bill grabs me and he's like, yo, Tom, you want Stefan to do Stefan, right? So I'm like, yeah. So let Stefan do Stefan. I'm like, okay. So I just
That's
shut
funny.
up. I let Stefan played whatever he played, and it's great. I love what he did. I don't think our or the intro I wrote was better, thinking about it now.
Oh, that's hilarious. He's probably like, dude, you want me to do this or not?
No, he was very calm, and he was super cool. He didn't
That's
get mad
cool.
at me or anything. I think I bugged him like once or twice, like while I was standing there, and then Bill just yanked me to the side. He's like, you should just let
Get
him
out of
do
here,
his
kid.
thing if you like what he does. And I'm like, oh, we're crazy about what he does.
That's amazing. Did you guys, I mean, aside from Stefan, did you get any other assists in the studio? I know that they're big harmony guys. Did they offer any insights into like, I mean, this album is full of like great little like backing vocal things that happen. Were they involved in any of that stuff, or did you come in with that?
Yeah, Bill gets involved with that. He has all these like jazzy harmonies sometimes. That's like very Bill. Like sometimes when I'm recording vocals or harmonies, and on this album, actually Jonathan, the drummer, he did some harmonies as well. Like we were all singing. We were just like, let's all sing and let's all make a mess. Yeah, where was I going with this? Yeah, so Bill, he has like these harmonies that I normally wouldn't think of, but maybe now I would think of them just because I've done this for so long. So now I think with the later albums, he's like, yo, Tom, I like your harmony thing. You just do your thing. But back then, when we were kind of searching for the right harmony and unsure, Bill would come up with like very weird things, like on One Way Down, on the chorus, We'll hide away on different grounds. Something like that. That's so weird. I would never think of that. And that kind of like makes the chorus into something different than it was meant to be. But okay, I guess you live
Yeah,
and learn,
that's
right?
cool. It's amazing that you can just come
But
up with stuff like
but
that.
for the there's this like, even on the Lemonheads album that Bill and Jason produced, or I think it was Bill maybe. Yeah, they both produced it. But on the Lemonheads and on Descendants, there's always that one like type of harmony that we call it the Bill harmony. I don't know how to explain it in musical
Yeah.
notes. But it's this thing that like, once you hear that harmony, you feel like you instantly imagine someone like riding on a wave or something like that. So I didn't tell Bill that, but I told him like there were certain times where like, let's do the Bill harmony here. And he's like, okay. And then he would tell me what to sing.
Let's go to
And
Bill.
that's, yeah,
That's funny.
exactly. But for music nerds, maybe some music nerds will know what I'm
Sure.
talking about.
Oh yeah, the Bill Harmony.
Yeah.
So when you guys record, how do you like to record? I know we talked a little bit about this on when we talked about making Redemption, but do you like to just get all the drums done, go through all the songs, get the drums, or do you kind of song by song, or how do you guys like to do that?
The system that the Blasting Room had, I'm guessing they upgraded that even now with all the like, iCloud and all that shit. But back then, Jason would work with Jonathan on, let's say, like a couple tunes, and once they'd finalize the drum tracks, they would send it through like an external hard drive back to the B room, and then start on bass. Now, once I'd get once I'm tracking bass with Bill or Andrew, that's another one and another Blasting Room alumni. Yeah, Andrew Berlin. He's also been with us from the start. So it's actually the three of them that
Oh,
have
that's
been with
awesome.
us. And there's a the family just keeps growing. I think Bill's son is there
Oh,
now too.
really?
So we may
Oh,
meet him in
wow.
the yeah I we've known him since he was a little kid, but he's also working at the Blasting Room. But anyways, so yeah, it's like a ping pong thing. It's like, so then I'm tracking bass with Bill in one room, and they're continuing with the drums on that. That's after we got the guitar guides, of course. So yeah, something to play on, something to drum on. So he's continuing in room A to track drums. I'm B, so it's like back and forth, back and forth. You're done with drums, I'm still tracking bass. The external hard drive goes back to room A. They start with guitar, so it's like
Oh,
back and forth. Are
wow.
they still doing they're still doing guy's guitar track, and I'm starting vocals. And so that's how they just have
Oh,
everyone
that's
working
cool.
at all times. And then they have this other editing room that, if we're playing terrible shit, so they're yeah, if we're singing sour notes or playing wrong notes on bass or whatever. So they're editing us and making us sound a bit better than we are. And yeah, I'm not against editing. You're putting an album out into the world. You're not editing the crap out of you. You still have heart. Like, once you still feel the band's heart in the album, and it doesn't lack that, so it's fine. I think everyone does a
Sure.
bit of
Yeah, you want
editing.
it to sound good.
It's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, with State Is Burning, I remember going in there and telling Bill, hey, with this album, it's kind of like a punk hardcore record, so not as much editing. Just
Raw.
let's make sure that it sounds good, that we're good enough, and let's leave it. So we took a step back from that. But with Broken Bones, we were all like, into it. Like, everything's sounding super tight, because even with the demos, when we recorded the drums at a studio, and then we did the rest at my house. So like I'm at my dad's house, so like, I plastered the walls and put like all this like rock wool and shit inside my room, and it smelled
Foam.
like crap. And we had like, JCM 800 in the room, and just Isha and Guy would take turns on coming over and recording their parts. But the problem with that is I would stay with the recording. So, I'm like a mad scientist. So I would just edit the crap out of it and make us like the tightest band in the world, until there's like, you know, no
all the juice
breath,
is squeezed
no,
out. Yeah.
no yeah, like it's we're all like tight, we're like ugh. But yeah, we learned to let that go as well. Like you don't need to be the tightest band in the world. Yeah.
Well, it sounds good. I mean, yeah, that method of recording to me is awesome because I just feel like things are like everything is happening like all at once. Like the songs are coming together. It must be fun to hear it all when it's done. And
yeah, the great thing about it is like and the fact that you don't go home every day to, you know, back to your bed and the fact that you don't go back home to sleep and then get up and go to the studio, we're living in the studio. So you're just living these songs 24/7. You just don't go anywhere. Maybe you go eat a burrito at some point or go see all play a show. But
you guys were out there in like January, February out in Colorado. I imagine you didn't leave the studio much.
Yeah, I think that it was around that time. It was like January, February, something like that. That's normally when we would go. We go like in the winter.
Probably a bit more comfortable. Yeah. Tell me about the significance of the title. So you're getting these songs together, you're getting it recorded. At what point are you banging around album titles? What is the significance of The Last Broken Bones?
I just remembered that Night Stalker was also one of the songs on the first batch, and it had different lyrics. It was like it was like a bit different. I tried to write about something else, and that idea didn't work out. So I'm like. And I think I was really getting into that movie Donnie Darko at the time. I remember that with Jake Gyllenhaal. So yeah, so I just pulled from that movie, like you know, like all these numbers, like this number scheme in the lyrics here. 19, bring me back to date 1988. Yo, yeah, your days are number 28. So yeah, in Donnie Darko, he had 28 days until the end of the world. Remember that? So I kind of pulled ideas from that. And there's a part in the movie where it says, like, where's Donnie? Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Remember that? I haven't seen the movie in forever, but I remember, where's Donnie? So, like, where are you? Where are you now? What happened to the world? What happened to our world? A part of the song was, I think I'd originally written, We're the Last Broken Bones. And then we were talking about calling the album The Last Broken Bones. And Guy was like, how about we call it The Lost Broken Bones? Because The Last Broken Bones seems like our last album. Yeah, it seems like this is our last album. And I'm happy he caught that. Because if holding this now and thinking about it as The Last Broken Bones, it's Lost makes more sense. It's kind of like Indiana Jones type of thing, right? Like, and also the album cover and all that stuff.
It was an awesome cover. I love this cover.
Yeah, I remember a guy. I was like, he said that he had a vision for the art, like for the photos, and like to add like each song has its picture. And I was like, yeah, go do your thing, because he was into photography at the time. So he just went and took a bunch of pictures, and I think we even found a picture for One Way Down. It was a picture from the internet from some guy, like Kyle C. So he gave us permission, by the way, to use it, and some of the other photos as well. You know what? I just remembered that around the time I was writing for this album, the Black Parade came out, and everyone was talking about My Chemical Romance, Black Parade. I wasn't really into My Chemical Romance, but I was like, if everyone's talking about this album, I'll listen to it. You know, kind of like with Turnstile now. I knew of them, but I never really, you know, listened to it until this new album, because everyone was telling me, you got to hear it, you got to hear it, you got to hear it. So same thing with Chemical Romance at the time. That came out, and that album kind of blew up. So I think I was obsessed with it for a while. I was just like listening to it all the time, and I'm like, what's making this so good?
What is it about this?
And it is good. It's it's my favorite album of theirs, of course, and the concept is very, you know, sharp, and I think Rob Cavallo produced it, a great producer. But at the time I was that was kind of like and I think a lot of the songs that didn't make it to Lost Broken Bones, I was kind of like, you know, dipping my feet kind of like into more like theatrical type of things for like a minute, and it's obvious why those songs didn't make the cut for Useless ID. Maybe they were just not good enough, and they weren't really us.
Yeah,
you know, as I was searching for how to make it. But I remember my Chemical Romance came out, and I was just like listening to it.
So after opening for No Use for a Name for a few shows in Tel Aviv, you actually joined them as support for the remainder of their summer European tour. Do you remember what was that tour like? Do you remember that?
They played Tel Aviv in 2009. Oh, okay. So where are we going? Because 2005, because the tour with them, the summer tour with them, is before this album, and them in Israel is during this album. Which side are we going?
Let's keep it to this album. So they came out and did a few shows during this time.
Yeah, No Use for a Name. This was like a couple years after NOFX. Like NOFX kind of like came to Israel, checked it out, saw that all right, punk bands could come here. So
testing the waters. Yeah.
So No Use for a Name came out. They did two shows, and it was also my 30th birthday. So like, there were two shows, and then they did an acoustic show, and then it was my 30th birthday. So the acoustic show I missed because I had work that day. I was supposed to open that show. What a bummer! I should have said no to work. I had a show with that artist I told you about in a different part of Israel, and I wouldn't have made it. Yeah, their shows were good. They played two nights in at the Barbie. That's normally where American punk bands or whoever comes here, that's where we drag them to.
That's the spot.
But that was a fun time. Tony also gave me a CD. I have it here somewhere. It said TS 9 songs on it, and it was nine of the songs that – actually, it's eight of the songs that went on 12-song program. Oh, cool. So there's one song in there that's not on the album. I don't know what happened to that song. But a little interesting No Use thing. While we were recording Lost Broken Bones, No Use was at the studio right before us recording Feel Good Record of the Year. I always get the title mixed up because they have a song called Feel Good Song, right? There's like a Feel Good Song and the album's Feel Good Record. Yeah. They're keeping me confused as they
Let's keep this going. Say. Yeah.
So
and you came in with some more betterness and
all over the get me in with more betterness and go eat some meat in
That's
the fridge.
Awesome. So you guys came in right after they had wrapped up doing that album. That's
no, awesome. I'm talking nonsense. But yeah, we came in right after them, and at the lobby, like at the living room of the blasting room, I think during like the first few days, I saw a cassette tape over there, like a tape recorder, and a few years earlier when we were at the Warped Tour, and I just met Tony Sly, and I started working with him on songs for because he agreed to produce us for No Vacation from the World. So he told me to get a tape recorder, just like his, like a Sony tape. He goes, go to Walmart, because this was before voice memos. He's like, go to Walmart tomorrow and get one of these and make it your best friend. So that's what I did. So fast forward, and then, you know, I have like a bunch of these cassette tapes here with like a bunch of songs. But fast forward to the time at the blasting room, I find a cassette tape similar to mine. So, you know, me being the curious person that I was, I took it and I found the cassette tape inside. So I was like, I wonder what's this and like who left it here. So I'm listening to it, and I could hear that it's I recognize Tony's voice, and I could hear him working on stuff.
Awesome.
And I'm like, yeah. And then I heard him play a song that I never heard, like that was never released, but like he was working on it. And so I was like, all right, I'll just take this and I'll give it back to him when I see him. And when they were in Israel, I forgot to give it to him. And then, I think I left it in Haifa, like where I'm now. and I was living in Tel Aviv, so I didn't, I don't know, I was just, you know, everyone's like all caught up
Right.
in life, so I was like, I didn't make the connection, oh, Tony's gonna be here, I'll give him his tape back. But I did eventually plan to give it to him, but then it was, you know, at some point it was too late. But
Yeah.
I kept it, I still
Oh,
have
that's
it,
amazing.
and I did and I would like to think of it as like, you know, kind of like a gift, kind of like the universe's gift from Tony to me to never stop
Oh,
writing songs. That's what I
that's
wanted to
awesome.
say. Yeah. So that's the symbol that that cassette, the tape recorder
Oh,
holds for
wow.
me.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. So finally, in 2015, the album was re-released by Fat Records, and the digital comes with like over 20 minutes of bonus stuff. So that bonus material, is that are those some of the demos you were talking about?
I
Yeah.
think so. You want to read me some of that stuff? Is there like Fading Out and
Yeah,
Snowtime and all these
Snowtime,
songs on
yep,
it?
and X on the
Yeah. So yeah. So Snowtime, that was one of the songs I wrote after listening to Black Parade. I was like, I want to write a, like a My Chemical Romance
Yeah.
type of song, because you know. So yeah, it's like one of those things. And Fading Out, it's like, you know, it seemed like a song that could be on Redemption, but it's not as good as Turn Up the Stereo, so it was kind of like left on
Yeah.
the wayside.
My alter ego.
But yes, my alter ego, that's full on
Yeah.
Black Parade. There's like so much going on there musically. It's just such a weird song. But yeah, I but that's what I like about, you know, not doing the same thing over and over. And I could say that to Useless ID's benefit, that we never made the same album twice. You know, some bands like Ramones, but you can't blame them because they kind of
Feels
like
like the
invented
Ramones
that
thing, yeah.
style. Yeah, and they're the best at it, so they're not going to go off and make like a hardcore record, even though they tried to incorporate some like hardcore
Yeah.
beats, and
Just didn't.
it's kind of funny because it's you know, Ramones is, they can't do Bad
No.
Brains, you know. So with us, I like it that we stayed consistent in not staying consistent with our sound, that we kind of
Evolving.
always
Yeah.
changed something. Yeah, something always changed, because I don't think people stay the same every few years,
Definitely not. And
right?
like, different players, you have a different drummer on here and the times are different. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't know if another Redemption would have kept me as strong of a fan as getting something like The Lost Broken Bones, where it was like a little darker, it was a little bit more hard rocking. It's kind of what I wanted at that time.
Yeah, if I don't know, because I'm always listening to music. I'm always listening to new things. I'm not one of these people that, you know, listens only to the bands I liked when I was 15. I'm like, music sucks now. It's not as good as back in the
Yeah.
90s, you know.
Oh, man.
I'm always like, you know, I'm always on the lookout with like this with Spotify or whatever, and always listening to new stuff. And I'm also always listening to old stuff, which I probably haven't listened to enough, because since I go back to these albums. But so I felt at the time the music world was kind of changing, because when we released Redemption, that album made sense at that time to us. And then like a short time later, you know, Fall Out Boy came out, and then the Chemical Romance came out, and then we discovered this band Reliant K, and we discovered Punchline, we discovered. And we're like, oh, we could go a few more
Yeah.
directions, you know, in this. We don't have to just stick to that. Which even, you know, even with Redemption, there's like hardcore
Sure.
songs on it. There's pop punk songs on it. But the whole thing, it makes
Yeah.
sense as a whole, just like Lost Broken Bones. I at the time I felt that Lost Broken Bones was kind of like the album I didn't finish writing. But you know, there's so much you can obsess about. Like, it's kind of like what I'm dealing with right now, to be honest with you, because I'm just about to wrap up another solo album, which this album came out of nothing. It came out of like a few like spare ideas I had, not even songs, and they became songs because I. So it's almost finished, and I'm always like, you know, every other day I put the songs on and I listen to them. Like, what could I change here? What could I do here? But you know, you just have
Sometimes
to let it be at some point. So
it,
I'm not at this point. I'm not really. It's all there. Yeah. It's just like missing one tune at this point. I'll tell you what it's missing: the opening song. So I left the hardest job for myself with this album because I just like wrote a bunch of music and I'm like, I know exactly 2 to 10. I know how 2 to 10 is gonna look. I have like side B already planned in my head, but I don't know what's gonna open this. So that's where I'm at with
that's
that. Hard. But with this one, it was good that we put our foot down. We booked the studio time at the Blasting Room, and you know, once you record an album at the Blasting Room, you know you're leaving with the mix and that's it. You're not gonna go home, write more songs, and hey, Jason, can you book another week? Not with us. No way.
No, we're done, guys.
That means another, you know, 4 flights from Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Wow, yeah. It can get real expensive.
Yeah. But here's another little nugget for you before we wrap up. So I remember the first, normally they, Jason does the mix, starts mixing at the studio once like we're done tracking. Mm-hmm. So I remember the first song he mixed was Night Stalker. Mm-hmm. And we had discovered the baritone guitar on this album. So we doubled a bunch of guitar riffs. That's why it sounds heavy. Because, you know, you have a baritone guitar with those heavy strings. Just. Mm-hmm. So we put a bunch of that on Lost Broken Bones to add to the heaviness. So I remember listening to Night Stalker. We were all in there listening and we were like, holy shit. This is amazing. You know, just like it was like so heavy and so loud and all the tones were so good. But then when we got the mix of Blood Pressure,
it's the fear of the dark when you're all alone and someone's watching over you when your faith's coming down in an acid rainstorm. The answer lies in front of you. Now I can't fall asleep and we better talk, cause I'm beating up myself for the end result. Is it really worth my time?
Great song.
Thank you. So Descendants roadie Bug showed up. Mm-hmm. He used to show up like every now and then and come say hi and like hang out for like an hour and leave. So he just showed up when we were listening to the mix of Blood Pressure. So he's like, hey guys, how's it going? What are you up to? He's like, we just finished this song, Blood Pressure. You want to hear it? I don't know what went through our minds. We're like, you want to hear it? Like, he's like, yeah, sure. Okay. So anyways, we play him the song. We played him Blood Pressure. The song ends and he's in tears. And I'm like, uh-oh. And I'm like, hey, the bug, what happened? He's like, you know, I just broke up with my girlfriend the other day. And this song really hit home. It's really powerful. He said something like that. And we're looking at each other and like, this should be the first song we release, you know?
Yeah.
The first single. So Bug gave us that blessing.
I heard, yeah.
And then, you know, we came back to Israel. We made a video for Blood Pressure. Mm-hmm. And that was the first song we put out.
That's awesome. I heard that song and I was just blown away. I told you in the message I sent you that, like, I didn't think you guys were going to be able to top Redemption. And then this record came out and Blood Pressure was the first song I heard. And I wrote to you, I just feel like I can hear the Beatle influence in there. And I just, that song just completely blew me away.
I love Blood Pressure. Yeah. I think it's a great song, and it's kind of been in our set in and out. When I just started doing acoustic, it was a big part of my set. I was always scream my ass off in Blood Pressure. there's a Police influence in there. Mm-hmm. I think Ishai came up with all that stuff. Funny enough, I realized where I kind of like took the verse from. Like, it's the fear of the dark when you're all alone. I think I took it from Amy Winehouse.
Oh, all right.
Because I'll tell you why. Because the Amy Winehouse album, that came out, I think it was like 2006 or 7, mm-hmm. 7 maybe. I think it's the Back in Black. And there was that one song. Na, 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 da, 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 da. So that song, I think that melody kind of stayed in my head.
Awesome.
and morphed into blood pressure. So that's, but I'm happy. Every time someone tells me, "Oh, there's a Beatle influence here," I love it.
Yeah,
because that's what I want people to pick up. I want them to pick up the musicality from the band. That, you know, it's beyond all the, like, all the noise and the power of the instruments. At the end of the day, you're left with a song. Is the song good? Does it hold? Does it hold with an acoustic guitar? Is the melody strong enough? That's how we approach it.
Yeah. I just always loved their way and your way of using minor notes and making it melodic. Like, I just love that. That's always something that stands out to me.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. The whole, like, push and pull. Mm-hmm. Pull. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, yo, Tom, this has been so much fun going through this album today. Like I said, I love this record. I love Useless ID, and I'm going to keep bugging you to come on here to talk records with me, because this is a lot of fun. I really appreciate you making time for me today.
Hell yeah. Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I'm always happy to do this and talk stuff.
Anything you want to get out there before we close down?
As I mentioned, at the moment, I'm kind of like trying to wrap up this album I'm on.
Awesome.
As far as Useless ID stuff, you know, it's kind of hard where everyone's scattered mm-hmm. all over the world at the moment. Yeah. But we're trying to get some stuff together in the near future ish.
Mm-hmm. ish.
So, yeah.
At some point.
We'll see. At some point. Yeah, you know, remember when Lagwagon took that, like, endless break and, like, then put an album out after 9 years or something? I think every band kind of reaches that point, because, you know, not that age ever interfered with what I want to do, but, you know, we have been a band for almost 30 years now, and people have lives, people do other stuff, people make other music. As myself, I'm working on a solo album, and it's hard for me to focus on, like, several albums at the same time. Yeah, yeah, so I kind of want to finish with this. I have written a bunch of songs for a possible new Useless ID. They are waiting patiently on the side to grow a bit more.
That's awesome.
But yeah, but you know, with us, it must be great for us to really put the time and fly over to the U.S.
You're not going to do it just to do it.
Yeah, I think many bands fall into that trap. As I told you, I listen to a lot of music, and I love the New Green Day, if I could just say that here. I think the New Green Day is great. Yeah. But many bands fall into that trap where, like, oh my God, we have to put out an album. It's been 3 years. We have to put And with us, I think we don't feel like we have to put out an album. We feel like we have to put out a great album. That's what we feel. Everyone has to be... Yeah, and everyone has to be excited about it. It's not all about me being excited about the songs and, like, all right, rally up the guys. We're going in to record. That's it. Yeah. It doesn't work that way. I want everyone to be equally excited, so the excitement shines through the music.
It does come through, absolutely.
Yeah, and I feel like it on all of our records, you could feel that we were at a good place. Even, you know, even mentally, if I wasn't at such a good place during Symptoms, I still think that came through in the album, like, which maybe we'll do a show on Symptoms
I'd
next
love
time.
To.
But I like that album too. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, well, very cool. Again, thank you so much, and I do look forward to talking to you again soon. And again, thank you so much for making time for me today.
You're welcome. Thank you too.
Awesome. I would like to thank Yo Tom for hanging out with me today. I would like to thank Chris DeMix from Less Than Jake for the theme music. I would like to send a huge thanks to all of you for tuning in to Talking Records. It is really fun to dive into these fantastic records, chat about the songs, and try to gather up all the information we can into just this one little neat podcast. Check us out on the socials, say hello, suggest albums, tell us your stories. We enjoy talking music with you. Make sure you check out the Talking Records top 10 lists that I try to do on a weekly basis. It can be anything from top 10 songs about food to top 10 songs from
one of our favorite bands. It's a lot of fun. It encourages conversation. And that's what this is all about. All right, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.